League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Tailgate Sports Bar Patio in Edo. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
2401 Texas Avenue, right outside the Dynamo Stadium, kitty corner, if you will, is the Texas Tailgate, where we will be till 6 p.m., and you should be tonight, tomorrow, and all weekend long, as it is a spot and destination for everything from the March Madness that is currently going on, that we will update you on with all the scores, including the Cougars' big win today, but also the fact that they've got the Edo Cook-Off this weekend. They've got places like J-Bar M and Cobos Q competing to try and win your palate over while you guys get to sample live music, lots of beverages, $4 beers and well-drinks today till 7 o'clock, $5 margaritas, shots as well for $5. The game sounds on the games that you want to watch. And then, like I said, with the cook-off this weekend, all of that, like, merchants are going to be out here with a market selling things. It's going to be a great environment. You need to be out here. It's a really cool spot with a great view of downtown.
Yeah, I mean, and not only today and not only through March Madness, I was talking to Juan, who owns the place, before Paul's show started. And this is a good spot before Astros games, too, because you're right down Texas Avenue, about half a mile, easy walk to Daikin Park, and it's a place where you can come in and get a drink. And, oh, by the way, you can park here without spending $40
for
parking, get a good drink, get some food here at the food trucks, and then walk half a mile or less over
to Daikin
Park.
Well, you said it's for Astros, yeah,
for
the Dynamo.
Well, yeah.
It's not even that far out of the reach Toyota Center.
Even closer to Shell Energy Stadium for the Dynamo.
Yeah, so you've got no reason not to get here. It's a cool environment, lots of great people watching, and, of course, screens galore, the massive screen outside, tons of screens inside. So come and join us, and if you will, join us over the weekend as we continue to be here in spirit and they have the cook-off. We were talking Astros before the break. The other news that we kind of touched on was Jose Altuve and the experiment that is. He had back-to-back dropped fly balls that were routine at worst. At best, they were easy catches that he did not make. Runs scored both times. A lot of eyebrows raised, to which Joe Espada came out and said he is going to play predominantly in left field, to which Altuve said, I'm going to get better. I'm going to become a good out left fielder, and that he's going to work hard at it. All fine and dandy, but when we get to the regular season, if we have even one episode like we had two nights in a row with routine fly balls being dropped and runs being scored, people are going to lose their mind, and this is going to be a massive story.
Yeah, and those weren't the only two. Like, he had, about a week before that, had another case where he was trying to back up and feel for the wall and wasn't successful and let a ball drop, so... Like, I think a lot of us were, I think, or at least I'll speak for myself, I talked myself into a point where I was okay with the Altuve and left field experiment because 81 of their games, you know, half, were going to be at Daikin Park with the short porch because of the Crawford boxes. Doesn't have to cover as much ground. He's not having to make plays over the wall because it's obviously a super tall wall. And we were kind of like, well, if you got this short, you know, outfield, the small outfield to work with, maybe it could be okay as long as he can make the routine plays, he'll be fine because it's not a, you know, super big outfield for a 34-year-old not used to playing the outfield to roam. But unfortunately, we've seen on at least three occasions he's not making the routine. And it really does beg the question, like Altuve said, I'm going to get better. Joe Espada said he's going to be the primary left fielder. Well, how long, and this will be the question Espada will have to answer, but how long are you going to give Altuve to get better? Because if he's at the point where he's costing you runs and maybe costing you game, I don't think this is a team, or at least it doesn't profile as one, that's going to be able to run out to such a margin because of how good they are to where they can afford a few losses from defense. So I don't know how long the leash can actually be.
So this is what I'm talking about, Brian. Like, we're talking about Altuve, right? And that's been the main focal point about what are they going to do.
Right.
But I think that those same leashes are going to be applied to how long and how patient are you going to be with Jake in center if he's not hitting at all, with Chaz if he's hitting more like last year than the year before, and the fact that the entire outfield still seems to be, as much as we talk about problem 1A and the number one biggest problem for the Texans being O-line, from an Astros perspective, no matter whether you get McCullers back, Garcia back, or who your fifth starter is, you know the pitching's fine. You know that the offensive lineup is pretty good. But you know the outfield is terrible, and now we're talking about all three guys under scrutiny. And if he plays this way in the regular season, the leashes are going to be short on Chaz and Jake and on Altuve. And what you're going to do, because you've got young talent that you're kind of hesitant about when to start the clock on Cam Smith,
right,
or if DeCenzo's got a place to play in the outfield when he's not really a quote-unquote outfielder. But they're hitting the ball, too, and you need to worry about defense at some point in the outfield.
Yeah, I think the leashes for and I know you're not going to like this first part, but I think the leashes for Jake Meyers and Jose Altuve are going to be longer than Chaz. Like, of the guys you bring up, because of just how absolutely horrible Chaz was at the plate last year, you add into that his bad spring training so far, I don't think the leash with him is going to be very long.
And on top of that, Cam Smith is ripping the cover
Cam
off
Smith
of it.
Cam Smith is
and
giving
people
you
are, are like clamoring, chomping at the bit to get him in the lineup.
And that's part of it. Like, the leash can be as long as what your other options are, right? Like, if there's no other option, then the leash might be long. But because Cam Smith, who's now actually getting some starts in right field as well in spring training, where it started off as only third base, if he continues to hit the, you know, let's say he gets sent down to double A or triple A and he continues to hit like this, the leash is going to be pretty short with Chaz,
right,
because of how poor he was in spring and how poor he was last year. I don't know that they certainly don't really have the other options in center field, because if Chaz is playing poorly, what is the other option?
Well,
Jake?
What it really comes down to is who's hitting worse between Jake and Chaz, because if Chaz is hitting better than Jake, Chaz can play center, and then you still have an option to put Cam Smith in right field or DeCenzo, because like I said, I've been huge on DeCenzo before camp even started as a bat. I didn't know where he was going to play. I didn't know because of that if it would translate to him making the roster. But if he's hitting to the point where McTaggart says there's no way you can't keep him on this major league roster, he's got to break camp with this team, then it becomes, where's he going to play? I don't want him sitting and rotting away. And is he an option because of the fact that the outfield is so
vulnerable? I don't think he will
be
to start the season. Like, I hear what McTaggart's saying, but obviously that's an opinion. And I honestly, if like the way this breaks down right now to what I think the Astros are going to do, I don't see DeCenzo as having a spot other than a guy off the bench, and I don't really want that for him.
Either.
Like, I mean, it's different when they had, you know, some of the names they've had in the past where you knew they were – I'm trying to remember that super tall shortstop's name that they had, the guy that was like 6'4". Anyway, they've had guys in the past that didn't – David something? It doesn't matter. Not important. But they've had guys in the past where, okay, if he's coming off the bench, he doesn't really profile as a top prospect, as a guy that's going to – be a great offensive player, but he provides you pretty good defense, so it's okay if he's not, you know, not getting regular at bats. I don't want that for DeCenzo, because he could become someone that's a pretty good offensive. David Hensley,
that was the name I was thinking of. I wonder what year you're talking about.
And then same thing with Cam Smith. So I think we're going to start the season with Altuve and left.
I'll tell you what
center.
This really is going to be predicated on, Brian.
Okay,
it's going to be predicated on the fact that if they get off to a slow start, that like they did a year ago, and start digging themselves a hole, there's going to be more desperate times, desperate measures, and there's going to be a quicker hook on everybody to try and find bats and hits and offense, regardless of anything else. If they get off to a
for
good
right
start,
field, I agree with right field. I don't agree with the other spots, because I just don't know what the other options are. Like they seem dead set to prove a point with Altuve in left, and I don't see another option than center.
I'll tell you what happens,
other than
but
Jake.
You know, again, it doesn't translate to them getting off to a good start. If they get off to a bad start and Altuve's misplaying balls in left field, now everything's on the table from him going back to second base to try and figure things out.
It could mean Yordan has to play left field while Altuve DHs.
And that's something we haven't even brought up yet, because we don't want to talk about his ability to get hurt out in the outfield. But you have to put your best foot forward, especially if you start digging a hole earlier, you get off to a slow start. And right now I have zero confidence in Jake in center field offensively, no matter how much I know Jeremy loves to sing his praises. Defensively, I think his arm sucks. I think he still looks like a deer in the headlights, and he takes bad routes to ball sometimes. But I understand that his metrics said he's a better-than-average center fielder. He can't hit. And then with Chaz is still Chaz from last year when he eventually had to get sent down, I don't have a very long leash, and I don't have a lot of patience for a guy that, no matter what good of a guy he is, that I need someone in right field that not only can hit but also can play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, I think it just goes to the leash is as long as what their other options are. And I think in right field, because of how Cam Smith is hit, that leash will be very short for Chaz McCormick. Because if you're assuming the starting outfield to start the season is Altuve in left, Jake in center, Chaz in right, Chaz didn't, because of what happened last year and because of what's happened in the spring, it hasn't afforded himself much of a leash with the way Cam Smith has been hitting. So I think that leash is short. But we'll see. I mean, I'd love to be wrong on Jake and Altuve. I just don't see the other options that would have them sprinting away from trying out Jake and Altuve as your left and center combo.
And so for the time being, so be it, and we'll see. But again, I think as much as the hype has been around Cam Smith and how great of a spring he's had, we have to be realistic. And whether they don't want to start this clock or not, the fact that he's barely seen a lot of experience in the minor leagues means that you have a very tough decision to make in terms of when you feel like he's ready from a professional, mental, and emotional standpoint as well, because he's probably going to struggle early on facing all major league pitching to understand, is it worth it? And then if DeCenzo is hitting it and he's been at the major league level hitting it, is he a guy in the short term that becomes your first option to replace Chaz if Chaz doesn't hit?
Yeah, that's the other part we can't forget about with Cam Smith, and we've talked about it on this show, but he's played five games other than spring training. He's played five games above the single-A level. I mean, this is a guy that was drafted, like, literally less than a year ago. I mean, last year. So his path to the bigs has already, you know, been excelled. I don't know if it's fair to expect him to be on the opening day roster and to hit right away. Maybe that is his future, and he's different than the normal prospect. But I think it's a timeline that is a little unreasonable, especially when, like, he started off and he's obviously hitting well in spring. I think it was Chandler Rome or maybe it was Mataggart that pointed this out. Like, the average pitcher he's facing that he's hitting off of is below a double-A level from what he's facing in spring. Now, the third home run, the one he hit off McGill, that is a major league pitcher. That is legit.
Yep.
But overall, the level of pitching he's faced in spring is at about a double-A level, so you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We got the car wreck of the day coming up next. We got to get off a little early today because we've got pregame for Texas A&M basketball.
Giggle.
As they get ready for their first tournament game on what we hope is a long and spirited run in the NCAA tournament, some more than others.
All the way to the national title, Todd.
Media and ESPN 97.5. Todd is here with his Aggie gear on, ready for the game. You should be too. We'll have it all here for you right here on the flagship. Take a break, get back to the car wreck of the day. But before we do that, I want to tell you about my good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at so many things. He's located right here in the Med Center. He does a great job with plastic surgery and Botox and spa treatments and a lot of different things for you and your significant other. Where I have personal experiences, the NeoGraft procedure, PRP treatments, and getting your hair back, and I'm telling you, it is a true game changer. It's not like all the gimmicks you see on late night television. This is stuff that really works because it's your own hair. And the first secret I'll tell you that I learned by having a consultation with Doc and his staff is you really get the best benefit because you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. He's able to take some of that, put it where you need it most. Maybe it's because your forehead has become an 8-head. Or maybe because you got a baboon's butt on the back of your dome. Either way, you get hair, it's your own hair, and it's because it's coming from a place where you're never going to lose it, it's going to be with you for the long haul, and you're going to love what they do for you. Because you're listening to me now and you want to talk to him like I did, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and sign up for a free consultation. You'll go in, they'll explain to you what PRP treatments are and what the NeoGraft does and how it works. You can ask questions, they'll give you answers, and then you can make the decision. There's nothing that says you have to do it right away. There's nothing that says you got to have money out of pocket or signing on the dotted line. It's just options for you to consider if you are experiencing hair loss. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. I'm telling you, you can see the results instantaneously with the follicles that are visible. In 6 to 9 months, you see the full results, and you will be as happy as I am with the procedure itself. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
You know how we do it. Car wreck of the day, each and every day, to tell you things that didn't go somebody's way. I'll start.
Don't you dare.
Yes, I will.
No.
Because I'm working with two Longhorns today. The car wreck of the day is those Texas Longhorns who had every chance and ability to win, and then literally they got kicked in the grapes, and then they got kicked in the grapes.
See, I'm going to turn this on you, Joel. It's not a car wreck because we're going to get rid of Rodney Terry. It's a win for Texas.
But who you get and how you do is as important as what you just did in the tournament.
Sure.
And you were one and done. And I actually thought you had a chance.
Actually, really, less than one and done. We weren't even in the tournament. Like, if I view the play-in game in the college basketball tournament the same way you view the play-in of the NBA. Like, if you lose the play-in, you weren't actually in the tournament. So, on that aspect, definitely a car wreck. I've got two car wrecks. I'll go to one quickly. The second one has some audio. I don't know if you saw this, but obviously every year Barack Obama has put out
his brackets.
I was just looking at it before the show, and it already caught my eye because he had a certain team knocking out the Houston Cougars in the Sweet 16, which, how dare you, Barack. But that team, Joel, was Clemson.
Clemson, that's right. I remember that. He had Clemson playing Alabama, I think.
He did. He had Clemson to the Elite Eight, knocking out the Cougars in the Sweet 16. What happened to Clemson? They lost to McNeese State. So Obama's bracket, not off to a good start. The other one, if we could get to this audio here, I don't know if you saw the game last night, the 16 versus 16 game before the Texas game with Xavier. But the coach for American ended up losing, had a bit of a hissy fit. American coach Dwayne Simpkins, down 9 at the time, 2 minutes to go, didn't like a foul call and threw himself to the floor.
We did have one to give, Jim, with 2:29 left. It's on Jones. Obviously, Dwayne Simpkins did not want that in that situation. Now the officials are having a little bit of a conversation here.
Especially with the shot clock winding down.
A technical foul has been assessed to Dwayne Simpkins. Huge call.
What you can't see there is the man literally throws himself to the floor on his back and rolls around, gets himself a technical. Look, the game was probably over. They're down 9 with 2 minutes to go. But he gave the team another free throw with a technical foul when they still had an outside chance of a comeback. And he acts like a child, throws himself on the floor as a temper tantrum and costs his team a point.
Tough night, too, because your best player in his pretty much last game as a college basketball player and their leading scorer goes down with a knee injury.
Yeah.
And then he does that, and then they end up losing the game. But, yeah, not a good look if you're a head coach of college basketball to go that route. So plenty there to discuss in terms of, you know, the NCAA tournament, what's not on the floor. On the floor, upsets are already happening. McNeese State has already upset Clemson, as Brian mentioned. Lots of other close calls and games that are going on. If you're a Cougs fan, they won handily today. They played the winner of Georgia and Gonzaga. Right now, that game currently 80-58 in favor of the Zags. The Zags, a team to be reckoned with. If you're a Rockets fan, you know that they went to the double big recently with Steven Adams and Şengün, and it's worked. So is the Zags. And since they've done that, they have been on a tear. So the Cougs big men are going to have to be on red alert.
Yeah, certainly so. And look, I think sometimes height is overvalued because, I mean, people look at UH's roster. Oh, they don't have a guy over 6'8". But you look at the wingspan, and they've got guys that are basically over 7'2", especially with Tugler and with Juwan Roberts. So I don't really fear the size of Gonzaga for the Cougs, but it is certainly something to watch out for.
No doubt about it. And lots more games to come, too. That's why we're going to get out a little bit early today. You got Texas Aggies basketball coming on with the pregame show at 5:30. So you got the Aggs to look forward to tonight. And then we're going to be back tomorrow. Jeremy will be back with us. And we'll have plenty to discuss from the first round of the tournament.
From Carbach.
We'll get his thoughts. We're going to be live from Carbach Brewing, as Brian just mentioned. You guys can join us all day. You should come out there, just like you should come out here tonight and see everybody here in Edo. Come out tomorrow to Carbach Brewing. We're going to be there all day. The station's going to be there, the promo team. Lots of March Madness specials going on. Great screens to watch the games, but we'll have a good time. We'd love to see you out there, and Jeremy will be back to give us all the insights on the Cougs and what looks like a matchup with the Zags in round two.
Yeah, so what wins our car record today here?
I think it pretty much has to be your Longhorns.
Oh, come on. It's got to be Obama's bracket, right? He had Clemson beating the Cougs.
Yeah, but everybody has a team that,
when
you try to be creative.
They lost to McNeese State. Going to the Elite Eight.
You're trying to cover up from the absolute debacle
absolutely
that is Texas
I
basketball.
Am. But I absolutely am. You saw right through it, but I'm still right. He had big things.
Sean can break the tie.
Okay, Sean, what is the car wreck of the day?
What's the car wreck of the day, Sean?
I think it's Texas basketball.
Oh.
Spoken like an honest Longhorn.
As a whole.
That's damn you, Sean.
Thank you,
hey,
Sean,
that's what
Mapes.
They taught me at the journalism school. Have to be unbiased.
You're not a journalist, Sean.
Never work for a flagship station, Sean, where you can't be unbiased and honest. But I appreciate your honesty in this case. That was fantastic. Aggs basketball is coming up next. For Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes, I'm Joel Blank. Have yourself a great night, everybody. Stay tuned for the Aggs, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.